when you enjoy classical music, most of it was written because someone was a patron of a crown somewhere or in the employ of the church. And then the church seemed to have abandoned many of us for a long time, but St. Mary is one of the great exceptions.
Absolutely. And I think there are several churches in the diocese here that, you know, are trying to rediscover what we lost somehow in the process of Vatican II, which really was never intended on the part of the church that we would lose that tradition. The idea was actually to enhance the tradition and to bring it forward in such a way that people could feel they were participating in that tradition. So I think at St. Mary's that's very important to us, to maintain our links with the past. So we use some of the Gregorian chant, for example, a lot of polyphony, which was written by Bach, you mentioned, some of the great composers, and some modern day composers. There are a wealth of wonderful modern music out there, so we believe in using the best of everything, and I think that's what Vatican II really encouraged us to do, was to tap into the wealth of a tradition, but also to make it available to people in a way that they could feel that it meant something to them and wasn't just something that they went to Mass and knelt there while the priest did all the work and they didn't do anything, which it became, you know. But unfortunately, some people took it too far in the 60s, and I think many parishes went in for the kind of badly, as we mentioned, badly out of tune guitars and and things, and all sorts of experimental xylophones and so on, and triangles and whatnot. And I think we kind of lost it along the way somewhere, you know, that balance. But now we're trying to get back to that healthy balance, and that's what we aim to do at St. Mary's, is to promote the tradition, but in a way that's relevant to people nowadays.
Well, it probably helps you in that end to be the Pope's church, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
I remember when St. Mary's became Basilica after the Pope's visit here. And it's got to be it's a busy time for you. It's that time of year when I appreciate you having time to come down here. We all think of Christmas with Christianity, but without Easter, there's no point to any of it.
Absolutely.
So it's good of you to take time out this
no
morning.
Problem.
Part of your ministry, though, you have a choir, a cantor whose name will be familiar to anybody who's enjoyed singing in this town, for like Catherine Dockendorf. And you have an organ, again, which is one of those best-kept secrets for a lot of us.
Yes.
There's a fine instrument in St. Mary's.
Only a year ago, we put in the current pipe organ, which is by the Shantz Company from Ohio. And previously, we used to have a pipe organ a long, long time ago, and that was taken out in the 1980s because things had changed so much that it wasn't really in a playable state. And they determined at that time that, well, it wasn't used enough. They were using piano and guitar and things, that they felt a need to repair it. So rather than repair it or restore it, they decided they'd take that old organ out and put in an electronic organ, which lasted and, you know, was reasonably good in its day in the 1980s. But electronics, you know, they last 25 years like any sort of electronics, and then that's them, really. You can't replace them. So we felt over the last couple of years that we wanted to raise funds to put in something that was worthwhile for our space. And so we raised those funds, and last year we were delighted to put in a Shantz pipe organ, which is wonderful and really fills our acoustic in the building. And I think just creates that otherworldly experience for people when they come into the church and they hear the organ, a real pipe organ playing.
Rebuilding a pipe organ is costly. Buying a new one, my hat's off to you. You raise the money to buy a pipe organ. I don't know if people would know, that's a huge thing.
It really is. It was a big project for us.
I got to ask, too, did you come here from Scotland?
Absolutely, yes.
And you came with an electronic organ.
It's kind of I know, because in Scotland we have some fine instruments, of course. In Europe we have, the UK in general, we have some of the best instruments, I think, in Europe, you know. So it was a big decision to move from Scotland to come over here. But I was so attracted by the idea of full-time ministry within the church, which unfortunately we don't have so much of in Europe. We have wonderful organs, we have great tradition, but we don't have, I suppose, as much of a business outlook towards the church, which I think we have here in the States. And here, you know, churches are investing in employing full-time directors and establishing a good music program, which they recognise the importance of that, which I think really attracted me to come out here and work. So when I came here, originally for a vacation, I came on holiday here and met with the priest from the Basilica. It was really not planned at all. It was completely unplanned, and just discovered that they were looking for a music director, happened to be in the area visiting, and I decided I would be interviewed. And then 2 months later, I moved out here.
The idea of being an organist, the music director at a basilica in a large city, putting an organ in, how much influence did you have? Usually the organist, the music director, that instrument's your baby. Mm-hmm. You kind of get to drive what the stops are, how many manuals. Is this an instrument you really kind of help shape?
Absolutely. This was something that I conceived personally, because I thought a lot about it when I arrived here, about, well, we have an electronic organ, but we really should have, it's a basilica, after all, as you mentioned, it's a papal basilica, and we deserve to have something that really promotes our liturgy and our music program. And so we decided that we would do this, go into this project and investigate different builders, different companies, and after revising some of the different proposals we had from different companies, we settled eventually on Schantz because we felt it was the most eclectic organ that we could find. We didn't want anything that was overly baroque or overly romantic or modern American or whatever. We wanted to have something that was capable of performing baroque works, accompanying the choir, performing some modern organ works as well. So really, a lot of that was driven by kind of a personal longing to have something that we could express our music through that would really do us justice, I think, to the wide variety of what we include in our music program.
I think it's one of those things that people don't know is just what you mentioned. First of all, what does the man in charge want the organ to be able to do? Mm-hmm. And for many, many people, the greatest organ repertoire, it's the great romantic stuff. For many of us, it's the Baroque and now the 20th and now 21st century. Mm-hmm. That's where the really, really cool stuff resides. And that requires a special instrument to be able to
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
And then in the middle, be able to do the franc as well, right?
Yes, of course. That's right. You need to have those romantic stops as well available.
But you have the instrument, and this time of year you're bringing in rather renowned Italian organist. How did this come to be?
Well, this actually came about through our friends in our neighbouring parish. We have a strong link with Immaculate Heart Parish, which is actually just along the street from us. And that's our daughter parish, actually. They were built out of the basilica, and they were a mission originally of the basilica. So we have a strong link with them. Now, the priests who serve Immaculate Heart are part of a religious congregation who are actually based in Argentina. So they're Argentinian priests, and I've done some work for them along there, and we have, as I say, we have a very good relationship. So they're very keen to promote classical music in what's predominantly a working class, mainly Mexican-based parish, Hispanic parish, but these priests are keen to promote the idea of the sacred liturgy and introduce the people to a higher level of music and spirituality. And so this has really taken off over the last few years there. We've done several concerts between the Basilica and Immaculate Heart Church, and the people have really got a lot out of that and have grown in their appreciation of liturgical music and of sacred music in general. And so recently, when I was talking to Father Rolando, who's the main priest along there, we discussed the possibility of putting on this concert because he's a personal friend of Sergio, who's coming from Italy, and Sergio wanted to come here to visit on a vacation, to visit Rolando, and said that the only condition would be that he took him to the Grand Canyon. He'd be happy to play or to do anything that he would want him to do as long as he took him to the Grand Canyon. So he's coming, he's doing a little tour of the States, playing in the East Coast and things, and he's coming out here, and we managed to arrange this concert as part of his week here. So he'll play for us on Monday, and then I believe on the Tuesday they're going up to the canyon and spending the day there. So he'll be hopefully content with that. So that's essentially how it came about, being that he's a personal friend of the priests there at Immaculate Heart.
Mm-hmm. So your condition was, we'll take you to the Grand Canyon if you'll do some improvisatory.
Absolutely,
things for
land, right? Yes.
Tell us about, this is a man who is very highly regarded. Again, if you're a big organ fan, you probably know his work and know of his name. But to come this time of year, and he's presenting really, and this is a gentleman who, again, can play across the repertoire, mm-hmm. but these will be, as I understand it, improvisations around the Stations of the Cross.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
So when he comes to do this, does he talk to you about what's the instrument? What am I working with? Does he care?
Yes, that will be certainly very important to him. And what we plan to do is to spend some time there, I believe, on Sunday afternoon when we finish with our liturgical schedule, and to give him a chance really to see the instrument, to explore its potential, its possibilities, and basically just to get a feel for the acoustic of the building, which is important as well. It's not just the instrument, it's the acoustic that we're looking at. So he will spend some time preparing his meditations. He also has the text, which interestingly enough will be read in English and in Spanish, seeing as how we're trying to reach everybody within the community. So he will look at that and prepare some music accordingly for each station of the cross. And also, to add to this effect, we're looking at lighting. So while he's there, we're going to be trying some experiments with candles and with lighting in the basilica to see what best would serve that purpose of drawing people into the experience, almost as if they were present on the way of the cross.